today on Real Radio.
This is Pastor Jack. We want to thank you for listening and being part of the Real Radio family. And in light of that, we want you to pray for us and pray about partnering with us and making these radio broadcasts possible. It's not free to do this, and we certainly don't want to ask for money to do it. We want the Lord to provide. But if you're looking into investing in the kingdom of God and helping us get the word of God out to other places, even around the world, then we look forward to having you partner with us. If you'd like to contact us today, you can do that at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
God's not thrown for a loop. He's outside of it. And so God, that's why people are healed miraculously of cancer when God wills to do it. All he does is change the performance of the cell. It's pure, pure science. We just don't like to receive it as scientists or knowledgeable people because we can't explain it. And a doctor gets offended when he can't give a definition for why you're healthy now. Can't explain it. That rubs against $150,000 of schooling. Do you understand that? That comes against 8 to 12 years of school. God steps in and reverses the process of the cells. Why? He's outside the cell domain. He's outside of the laws of our natural universe. And a miracle takes place. Think about this. I was up in the High Sierras many, many years ago, and we were hiking around. We were goofing off camp and having a great time, and I came across the stream, and it was at the time of the year where the streams were receding. And in this pond, a beautiful pond, was a little trout, and he was stuck. He couldn't get into the river, and he would die. That water was heating up. You could feel it. It was becoming stagnant. And that trout could not get into the life-giving waters of that river. Now, what does that trout know? That trout knows, I need moving water, I need cool water, I need back in that river, I've been cut off. My system is telling me I'm in deep trouble, I'm gonna die. That trout is in need of a miracle. I'm looking down from a vantage point and a perspective, that trout doesn't even know of my existence. I'm looking down, and I'm with my friends, and Lisa was with me, and we're standing there, and I really became burdened. I'm not kidding. I became unusually burdened for this trout. I had to save this fish. And my friends are going, come on, come on. No, wait, wait, wait. And I remember so clearly as though it was yesterday, I said, God, you got to help me catch this fish. I got my hands. And I slowly walked in the water, and that trout darted all around, and then he darted into a clump of moss. And in that place, he couldn't see a thing. And I reached down and I picked up that clump of moss and I held it. And then I walked over to the river, and then I stood in the river, and then I went to see if I had him. And I opened up and I peeled back that moss, and there's that little trout, the little German brown trout. And he's, you know how the gasping for air, and I'm looking at him. And I put him down, and he swam away. And you know what? He went to all of his trout friends at school and said, I had a close encounter. I had a miracle happen in my life today. I don't know how it happened, but these hands came in, scooped me up, and the next thing I knew, I was in this river, and I had life again. That trout couldn't explain it. A miracle had happened. God steps in, and he does his thing. When he sovereignly chooses to do it, we step back in absolute shock because, you know what? We realize God is very, very much bigger than what we had given him credit for. And he heals. Listen, when you pray in faith. God may heal you. God may heal your friend. God may heal your family member. You pray. You pray believing. God loves to do it. And when he chooses not to do it, he's got a wonderful plan that you and I don't understand yet. But there's physics to the divine nature of God in his healing process. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, the Lord, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." Isn't that great? What a great verse to take to a hospital. We're running out of time, but turn quickly to Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. Matthew 12, 9. We'll read down to verse 13. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That he might accuse him. Then Jesus said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and he was restored as whole as the other." God coming in and undoing what is genetically and physically abnormal to us, but he's the master over all things. Does God heal today? Absolutely. Is God doing it? Yes, you bet he is. When I pray, do I expect God to heal you when we pray for you? I am. Every time I'm praying in faith, and every time I thank God for this, but every time if someone's not healed, I'm surprised. I am surprised. Because he has said that you pray. And when he doesn't, you've got to trust him that he's got something better in mind. Whatever that might be. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Luke 7, 11 through 16. "Now it happened in the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said, 'Don't weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin." You can't do that and be Jewish. But when you're God and Jewish, that's kind of fun. We serve a Jewish God. He can do it. Why? Because it wasn't going to be a coffin very long. They could turn it into like a, you know, a canoe. They can turn it into, you know, a stereo or something. I don't know. Put a ghetto blaster in there or something. It wasn't going to be a coffin for long. He touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. That would have freaked me out. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited us, his people." And this report about him went throughout all the land of Judea and the surrounding region. To you, that's a big deal. To me, that's a big deal. Bring somebody back from the dead? Not if you're governor and Lord even over the dead. It was nothing for him to get the hemoglobin moving again, to instantly cause the heart to start up without a defibrillator, you know, to shock the guy into heartbeat, just nothing for him because he's greater than all this. Even death, it's not too great for him. We've had the opportunity, you want to say rarely, but that's not always the case. We've had the opportunity to be with a child or with somebody who dies, and the parents are there, or the families are there, or the children are there, and there's that thing as a Christian where you're standing there and the body's going cold and you still pray, Lord, if it's your will, raise them up. Come on, God. You know, raise them up. And you're waiting and you open your eye. Oh, Lord. And it's just, wouldn't it be great? They sit up. Wow. How you guys doing? It's nothing for him to do. Our God is so great, even over the laws. And then finally this, does God heal today? Yes, he does. And I want to make it clear right now that we are blessed in the world, the church is, to have missionary medicine. That's great. We're blessed today to have things like Tylenol. I needed that today because of a bad headache. And that's wonderful. And that's good, and we praise the Lord for that. And did you know, naturally, but yet still supernaturally, that is a miracle in and of itself, kind of, for the chemicals and the biology to mate well with aspirin or antibiotics or anything like that that the medical world can offer us. Do you understand that? It is a miracle when you take an aspirin and there's a fix, because that is God allowing your system to get along with other prearranged chemical medications, and it's a miracle. It is, that your body's obeying the laws of God. But that's not healing divinely. Okay, do you understand? We're talking about supernatural intervention where there's radical healing. Does God heal today? Absolutely, he does. Absolutely. And we need to realize that so often, as we've mentioned earlier, that it's to the presentation and to the reception of the gospel. I want you to jot these down, and then we're going to pray for you tonight and me. Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, in that case, he healed them all, everyone who was there sick. Luke 9, just jot these down. I'm going to go quick. Luke 9:6. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Not everyone, but everywhere. Does God heal? He healed then. Mark 3:13 says, and when he went up to the mount, he called to him those that he wanted to make of his disciples, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Always this order, never to heal first, never. Always to preach first, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and number three, to cast out demons. Preach, heal, cast out demons. Luke 10, verse 9 and verse 17. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, not just the 12 now, but 70 others, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he told them to heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then verse 17 says, the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Preaching, healing, casting out demons. God healed then, he heals now. The text, Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. Mark 16, verse 15. God heals now through us. He says there, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be damned or condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. And that's for all of the church age. It's a perpetual believing and a perpetual signing. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And by the way, that is such a New Testament passage, even available for us today, that the ultimate fulfillment of this is still yet forthcoming during the tribulation period, where the book of Joel talks about, and Peter makes reference to the day of Pentecost, that God will pour out his Spirit. Remember when Peter said this? These guys aren't drunk as you suppose, but this is the fulfillment of what Joel spoke about. Is it Joel or Jude? Well, Joel. But Jude brings it up again in the New Testament, that this is what's spoken of by the prophet. And it began at Pentecost, and it's going to go through the church age into the tribulation period through the believers in, during that time. But real quickly, why doesn't God heal? You know what? Sometimes he's got something better in mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to tear up this passage and put it in a whole different chronological order here. 2 Corinthians 12, instead of beginning at verse 7, I want you to listen to this carefully, and if I go too fast, get the tape and study it later. I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 first. I think we'll understand it easier this way. First of all, realize this, that Paul had serious physical illnesses, and they were very, very real in Paul's life. Knowing that, let's read verse 8 first. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Why? He had a serious situation. Next, the Lord answers Paul's prayer. That comes in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That was God's answer to Paul. God's answer to Paul was, my grace is big enough, strong enough for you to handle this sickness. But God, won't you heal me? I said, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll have more than enough grace to make it through this illness. This is the Apostle Paul. Was he a busy man? Why didn't God heal him? Was he healing people, Paul? Every other day, it seemed like. So why didn't God heal him? I don't know. All God says is, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you know what that means? Have you suffered and God speaks to you, I'm not going to heal you. I'm going to show you the power of my grace. Third, the Lord's reason why he chose not to heal Paul is found in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. That means, Paul says, my Christian walk was so powerful to other people and blessing so many that God gave me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger sent from Satan to buffet me, lest I should become arrogant. Wow. Gee, he had a physical problem. He asked God to heal him. God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And then the answer is in Paul's head, now I realize, you know what? I see the logic to this, God. Then finally this, verse 10, Paul gains the victory and the knowledge over the illness. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Hey, bring them on. In my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in my distresses. Look how it blossoms into all these other areas of life's troubles. For Christ's sake, I do. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 7, verse 10. Spelled out chronologically for us to understand, I think, more clearly. And then finally, the Lord's purpose for healing. The general rule and characteristic of God is that he loves us and he has compassion for us and his creation. The purpose for the Lord's healings, 1 John 3:8 tells us that the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God has come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil. God loves to heal. God loves to show compassion. God loves you. And in John 10:10, the Bible says, I believe in reference to the devil, the thief comes, but not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord heals today supernaturally that the word of God may be believed in. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 14, verse 3, that the Lord granted signs and wonders that the people might believe in the word. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, again the Bible tells us that God healed the people so that he would confirm the word that was given to them. On and on it goes. But I want to leave you with this danger warning by Jesus, a very important warning he gives. In Scripture, in Matthew 11, the Bible says there, Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Capernaum, for if the miracles that had been done in you would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, other cities, they would have repented a long time ago." And if you've ever been to Israel on the Sea of Galilee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and Tiberias are the four predominant cities that are on the lake. And it's, the lake is so small, at night when it's clear, you can see those locations because there's some lights at each one for tourists. When Jesus says, "Woe to you, these three cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum," he is condemning them. The word woe is uai, and it means damned be you, condemned be you. Because great miracles, the greatest miracles Jesus performed were done in those three cities. In the north area, there in the Sea of Galilee. Interestingly enough, you guys, Jesus' home base, headquarters for ministry was in Tiberias. He visits these cities and he does great miracles, but they did not believe the word that was preached. Did they receive the miracles? The Bible says they did. Did they receive the word of God? They did not. And Jesus says, "Woe to you. Woe, woe, woe to you." And today, when you go there, you will be able to stay in a wonderful hotel in Tiberias. And you'll get on the bus or you'll get on the boat and you'll visit Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. And guess what? There's nothing there. The word is the factor. The healing, the miracle brings faith's eye to the word. And it's so important that we understand that tonight as we look at the gift of healing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. Now of course, February will be knocking on our door soon, and so our teacher wishes to tell us more about an event coming up at that time here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Pastor Jack?
Mike, it is a different world out there. People are trying to cope with what's going on financially and so many other ways. And listen, this year's Prophecy Conference theme, which, you know, we brought about this theme, we think, from the Lord many months ago. And the Lord anticipated, of course, giving us this title, but finding hope in the global crisis. And I just think the title itself is prophetic. This is the Southern California Prophecy Conference on these wonderful dates of February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And I think, Mike, it is going to be the answer to a lot of people's dilemma and struggles that they're going through. Because the quality of speakers, what they're going to be bringing to us, and the timeliness of it. So I'm asking everyone to make their way here to Southern California, if you're able, to join us February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I tell you, it is an amazing time. You're going to want to hear what these wonderful teachers of the Word of God are going to deliver to us. I look forward to meeting you, but I tell you what, these are amazing times. Christian, look up. The Lord could come at any time. You can get more information by visiting us at SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. We look forward to seeing you here at what will no doubt become a great event and a great encouragement to your understanding in these times, finding hope in the global crisis.
Okay, again, find out more by visiting RealRadioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.